I think I'll just put it to the side. Okay, let's go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to continue that praise and adoration to you. I ask you, Lord Jesus, touch my mouth and touch my mind with every word that I say. May it be a blessing to you. Lord Jesus, we just want to be in that presence. We want to be in your presence, in your kingdom, praising your name, in peace, in blessing. And I declare these things were bought for us already, paid by your blood. In your holy name, Jesus Christ, I pray these things. Amen. Okay. Actually, I got a lot of stuff. And one time I went to the prison in Obregon, and I brought a lot of stuff because I was going to talk. And the guy who introduced me goes, "Hey, man, he brought like tons of stuff." And it's like, yeah, I got some stuff I want to share with you guys. So I made this today, but you got to guess what it says. It's Hebrew. Does anyone know what it says? There's actually two. No, it's one word. Two letters, and the little dots are like the vowels because they don't do the vowels like we do. It's the Hebrew word for love. And I just thought that was so cool because I was invited to speak at a drug rehab today in Agua Prieta. And it was so funny. When I got there, they asked me, like, "How much time do you need?" I said, "I need 1 hour." And he said, "We'll give you two." I'm like, "Well, no, I just need one." So, and actually, I taught on this. I don't know if you guys can see that. But it's love. There's actually three words in Greek for love. And there's, of course, the Spanish, the English, and I wrote the French too. And I taught today on the love of God. And it's not really what I'm going to teach to you guys, but it's kind of like a lead-in. One of the things that's been on my heart is I've been ministering to mostly drug addicts, inmates, for a long time. And one of the things that breaks my heart is when I see people, I love to see people get saved. I love to see people come forward and joyfully receive the Lord. But it breaks my heart when I see them back again in the rehab, when they've fallen again. They say, "Yeah, I went back to drugs again," or whatever. And I asked a guy, he actually is a barber here in town. He was an alcoholic, and I asked him, I said, "When did you get serious with the Lord?" And he said, "When I realized how much God loves me." And when we realize how much God loves us, it is so powerful. It is so powerful. So I'm not going to teach on love. That's actually probably something that the pastors might teach you guys on. But there's a lot of words for love. In Hebrew, in Greek, there's actually three. And agape is the one that really matters. That's the love God has for us. Okay, so I have a sermon prepared. The title of this sermon is, "Yeah, it's right there." I'll say it again. "Yeah, it's right there." None of us like to hear that, especially if you're older like me. You don't like to hear, you know, a younger person. I love what Pastor Callan said about young people. I love young people. But sometimes it's like they say something, "Yeah, it's right there." It's like, "Well, I should have known that." So I'm going to teach you something. It's been on my heart, and it's something I've just seen over the years. And it's about things that it's right there in front of us, okay? So one time when we were driving to Navajoa, and Jasmine was with us. We were taking her to Obregon. And we had this conversation in a car. And we were like, "You know, I really like the Spanish language, Mexican Spanish. I really like it. Like, one of the cool things about Mexican Spanish is there's just some things that just make sense. Like, if you want to go buy cheese, queso, where do you go? A quesería. Okay, you want to go buy tortillas, where do you go? Tortillería. You got a problem with your tires, llantas, where do you go? Llantería. I really like that." And we're just talking about that all the way down. Not all the way down, but part of the way down. And sometimes we need to be, I don't want to say simple, but we need to talk straight up, plain. I like that. And here's why. So we actually live in Bisbee. And kind of like Douglas, you know, there's some people that, you know, that like live on our street. And it's like, you know, you really don't want to get to know them too well. So we have like names for people. We do. No, they're nice. They're nice names. Like the little old guy that walks down the street. Oh, that's the little old guy. An old lady, little old lady walks down her street. Who's that? She's a little old lady. There's a guy that always walks down the street, wears red shoes. Who's that? He's the red shoe guy. And we just do this. And sometimes it's right in front of us. It's right in front of us. Kind of like, you know, the Mexican Spanish. It's right there. So I'm going to tell you something. I think everyone here knows. And actually, every time I asked the inmates today, I go, do you guys know that the devil exists? And they're all like, oh, yeah. Uh-huh. No one doubted me. And I bet you there's a lot of churches in our nation. If I asked them that, they'd be like, "That's what was he talking about? Demons and that stuff?" You know, they would probably laugh me out of the pulpit. But I'm here to tell you that it's real. There's a war going on, whether you want to recognize the war or not. Okay? And I'm gonna share with you a scripture I think most everybody knows. 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians 10. I'm reading from the New King James. Okay. 2 Corinthians 10. Let me use this other hand. Okay. I'm going to start in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. And I'm going to go to halfway through 7. Okay. The word says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is filled. Do not look at things according to the outward appearance." Okay, we're in a war. It's a spiritual war. And the enemy, he's real serious. He's real serious. And he knows his time is short. He doesn't know the day or the hour. He doesn't know everything, but he can sense the season. Okay? So I love what the pastors have been teaching us about. Sometimes you get to get back to the basics. Do you remember a couple weeks ago? I don't even remember when it was, but Pastor Cowan said, you know, sometimes when you come up to the pulpit, ask people if they need to get saved, because I don't know everybody. And sometimes you may know someone and you really don't know where their heart is and they need to get saved. Okay? That's important. That's like a basic. Okay? Getting saved. And I don't know if you remember, but the pastors gave away some of the books in the library. And I'm actually going to return this book I got from the library. It's so good. I think people should read it. It's called Rivers of Living Water. It's by John Osteen, and it's about getting baptized with the Holy Spirit. And this is a Spirit-filled church, and our pastors do a great job teaching it. It's just so important. It's so important to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to be Spirit-filled. And don't if you don't even know what it is, find out. We'll tell you. It's one of the greatest things that ever happened in my life. It's about getting. It's about. So when you get saved, you walk through the door. But when you get baptized by the Holy Spirit, you get blessings poured onto you, power to do what God called you to do. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit the same month I went into the prison for the first time in Winslow, Arizona. I needed it. I was scared. I really was. I was like, I don't know if I can do this, Lord. But when I got it, it was like, oh, I was ready. And there's a third thing. And this is... I don't want to say I want to focus on it, but I want to talk about it. There's another really good book. This is still in the library. Like I said, I'm going to return to Rivers of Living Water. This is called Pigs in the Parlor. It's about deliverance. One of the things that I have seen, and you know, I hear people say the demons don't exist and all that stuff. I can prove it to you. They do. I have seen things. I saw things today that is undoubtedly demonic spirits. I see it I won't say every day, but I see it a lot. And this is one of the best. This book is actually very old. It may be older than me. I don't know. It's pretty old. And they talk about it so plainly. And it really isn't the Word of God. It's not like these people just made it up. It's real. Demonic spirits have and are tormenting this whole world. And just because you're a believer, you're not off limits. You're actually, when you step into a Spirit-filled church, you got like a bullseye on you. Because they want to take us out. They don't like when people understand the spiritual world. Okay? So, actually, one of the best, and I emailed the pastors, one of the best sermons I've ever heard, ever, it was from here. It was about discerning of spirits. It was excellent. And I think you guys know, I love this magazine. I really like this magazine. And I took this one home, and my favorite author, Lee Grady, he always is on the back. Guess what he wrote about? What happened to the gift of discernment? Okay, Lord, when things are in front of me, I pay attention. Discerning of spirits, it's real. It's real, and we can't get behind it. We can't, avoid it. And I actually had some, remember the title of this sermon is, yeah, it's right there. I had this happen to me. This was almost 4 years ago. Melissa and I went to Navajoa for the first time. And we're actually staying at Bob and Mickey's house. And there was a young couple there, Brandon and Bethany Baird. They're actually up on the board. They now live in Guaymas, work in an orphanage. And they had two friends there from Oregon. And one of the young women, she told me, we were having a conversation. I don't know if even Melissa remembers this. She told me, she goes, because I told her, she goes, what do you do? Well, I go into the rehabs, I go into the prisons, I preach the word, I give the invitation, people come get saved. And you know what she said to me? She goes, well, did they get delivered? And I was, well, sometimes they do. And she said to me, well, if they don't get delivered, getting saved, what's the use? And I was like, wow, I guess. And then I started looking at it, and it's true. You can't really get, I've seen people get saved. I've even seen people get filled with the Holy Spirit. And still, and do you remember I told you about my favorite author? He actually wrote two articles in this magazine. And one of them, he talks about, hold on, I'm not going to read it to you at all, because this is a great magazine, everyone should read it. It's he wrote an article called, oh, I don't want to flip through it. Sorry, guys. I'll look at the front. It's about living victoriously. He wrote an article, it says, Turning Up the Heat. It's about revival, personal revival. And one of the things, he has 9 points. And one of them is to get clean. To get clean. Nina shared on Sunday. Do you remember when Pastor Barbara taught about healing? Nina gave a testimony. She goes, you know, I was living bad, and I wasn't getting better. Wow, that's big. Thank you for sharing that, because that's so important. And what one of the things I've learned is it's a spiritual world, a spiritual war. And when we realize the enemy is luring us into a battle we can't win, he wants us in the flesh, he wants us where he can defeat us, okay? And as I started to go through this, you know, can people be saved and still be affected? I won't even use the word possessed, because a lot of us saw that horrible movie years ago, Exorcist. Don't watch that movie. It's not scriptural, so it's just a waste of your time. Actually, this is a rabbit trail, but it's going to end real quick. I had someone who I knew for years. He says, oh, do you deal with demonic spirits? Dude, all the time. He goes, did you ever see someone levitate? No, never. No, I've never seen anyone levitate. The three things I see the most. Demonic spirits want to waste our time, waste our money, and have us to be afraid. And none of those things are, I mean, those are like basics. When people come begging for money, I just say, no. Sometimes I say, no, that's poverty. And you know, the fear thing, I'm not afraid of you guys in the name of Jesus. And they back down every time. So again, rabbit trail end. They ain't not going to levitate in front of you probably. Don't worry about that. So I'm going to talk about spirits. It's all over the Bible. And one thing, if for those who've read the Bible all the way through, you know what is interesting? Is when you read through the Old Testament, there are a few times it talks about evil spirits. You know, like with Saul. I can't think of a whole lot, but not many. But when you get to the New Testament, boom! When the Lord hit the ground, demonic spirits just came out of nowhere. And we know the Lord's coming back, right? He's coming back. Guess what we're going to see? Demonic spirits spiking again. It's okay, it's normal because the enemy knows his time is short. Okay? And let me tell you about demonic spirits. They want to eat your lunch. Okay? We have a dog. She's a little pit bull mix. Actually, when Reuben first saw her, this was years ago, I said, "Do you want to see my puppy?" He goes, "Man, that's not a puppy, that's a pit bull." And she's pushy. And you know what she wants to do? She wants to come in and eat her food. You know how I know? One time we heard a funk in the kitchen. She was eating our food. Demonic spirits are like that. They want to eat your lunch. They want to eat your freedom. They want to eat your money. They want to steal your relationships. They want to break your family. They have one, that's their purpose. And they're real. Steal, kill, and destroy. John 10. I taught on that today. But the Lord came to what? Give us eternal life and life in abundance. Okay? So here's my illustration of my dog. She likes to get in the house. And she's really strong. You know, pit bulls are kind of muscular. I never knew that until I got one. And she'll like sit at the door and lean on the door trying to get in. And sometimes if I'm carrying firewood, it's like, she's coming in. Melissa's like, get the dog out. And not just that, she wants to get in and get where? The kitchen. And she wants to eat her food. And the demons are the same thing. If you think you get saved, and all of a sudden the demons just say, oh, he's saved, we can't bug him. Uh-uh, it doesn't happen that way. It didn't happen that way with me. It didn't happen the way when I watched these inmates. They get saved and they are under attack from the minute they get saved. Okay? So the demons, they don't give up. But the one thing we do know is you don't have to be worried about them because they're not everywhere. Our Lord is everywhere, but the demons aren't. There's a minimum amount of demons. 1/3 of the angels. I don't know what that number is, but they're not everywhere. But I can tell you what I've seen, and I see it with inmates and the drug addicts, is demons, if you guys ever walked into like an old barn where a rat lived, you go in and you see rats make a mess. You know what I'm saying? They chew things up and they make their nest and they just make a mess. Demons are like that. They go in, they chew things up and they make a mess. And you know the other thing about a demon is sometimes you don't even know, are they still there or not? All you can see is the damage. I see this with the drug addicts all the time. I can't tell if there's actually a demon inside them or it's just the damage of the demon. Okay? So let me go back. Because do you remember I made a public confession the last time I was in the pulpit? I was a drug addict. I really was. I was terrible for several years of my life. Well, I was really young, but I was really bad. And I look back, and I'm pretty sure the cause of that was I had a spirit of rejection. And the spirit of rejection didn't come necessarily from me. I wasn't born that way. Long story. But I had a spirit of rejection. I visit these drug addicts. I can see they got the same thing. They got a spirit of rejection. You don't stick dirty needles of heroin into your veins because it's fun. No, these are hurting people. It's a spirit of rejection. I can see it. And I saw it today. There was a young woman sitting right in front of me. I didn't grow up speaking Spanish, so one of the things that demons, I can always tell, they make fun of me. And they'll sit in front and they'll do this. And one time it happened, Samantha was actually there. It was a young woman. She was doing that to me. I don't like that. That's I'm preaching the word of God, doing the best I can. And this young woman, I don't know why, sometimes asks questions. I go, "What's your name?" She goes, "My name is Dulce." And I about fell over laughing. Sweetie. Demonic spirits have characteristics. Spirits of rejection. And again, it's not me, actually. You can read this book. You can read any book on spiritual warfare. It'll tell you all about it. And I'm not going to do that right now because I don't have 2 hours like I did in Agua Prieta. Demons are real, and they have characteristics. Do you remember when I told you about where we live in Bisbee and kind of like what we were talking about, Mexican, Spanish? It's just obvious, okay? I can see a spirit of rejection and go, that's a spirit of rejection. That's a spirit of jealousy. And you can see them because how they act. I mean, we've seen spirits of witchcraft. I can actually feel it. I felt it today. And it's usually prevalent among women. A lot of these women have, I won't say a lot of them, all of them have been abused. And a lot of them have become entered into witchcraft. I can feel when I'm around them, I can feel a spirit and it feels terrible. And there's other spirits. We've seen spirits, and again, I just name them. We've seen the spirits of false religion. And, you know, there's lots of other ones. Kind of like the guy with the red shoes. He's the guy with the red shoes because he wears red shoes. The demons have characteristics, so that's what I call them. I don't give them names or anything. Oh, that's the demon that does this. And one of the things that you have to know, again, are they there in the person or is it just the damage? Sometimes you can't tell. But we're called, I love the sermon on Sunday about healing. We're called to heal. God's people are to heal. We're not here to classify people. If I tell people, and again, people who aren't spiritually understanding, that person is demon-possessed, because I have seen them, and I've had people come up to me and say, I've got demons, okay? I believe you. I can see them. But we're not here to classify people or to degrade people or to write them off. Uh-uh. God's people are called to go in and heal. And we can. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can throw these things out. Okay? So again, sometimes I can't tell if it's the mess is damage that was done or if there's a demon still there. And it doesn't get too weird. So I'm going to take you to, let's go to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 7. And I'm going to tell you, I think you guys remember Mark chapter 5. When the Lord went into the Gadarenes and the demon-possessed guys. That's what usually, when a lot of times when people speak on spiritual warfare, they'll take you there. I'm not going to take you there. Because I can tell you, those events, I've only seen it happen a couple times. Maybe five times. And not very common. The most common, let's go to Mark chapter 7. I'm going to cruise through the chapter, at least half the chapter. And we're going to talk about it, and then I'm going to move on. Okay, Mark chapter 7, and this is New King James. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, that's the Lord, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, they hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. He said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban, that is, a gift of God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. I'm going to stop there. That's called a spirit of religion. And they were in the presence of God Almighty, and they missed it. That's a spirit of religion. I've seen it, and it's ugly. I remember Pastor Calvin, he should write that down, the vision he saw in Nuevo Casas Grandes. Spirits of religion are coupled to violence. It's horrid. That's a spirit of religion. And I'm gonna ask, we'll get there. Sorry. Verse 14. When he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. And he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. I'm going to ask a question. Were we created that way? No. This is damage from the enemy. We weren't created to be murderers, adulterers, coveters. No. We were created, and the book of Genesis says, and it was good when we were created. This is the result of the fall. And after the fall, those demons had reign. Not, if you read book of Job, they didn't have full reign, but they did damage. And they damaged a lot of us. And I got saved in 1991, and you know the big things, the big addictions were gone. Okay, the Lord took care of that. But there are other things that just lean, that kind of just were like my pit bull. They kept pushing it away into the door. They wouldn't go. I didn't understand why. And I'm here to tell you, and we'll talk a little bit about it, that believers in Jesus Christ have authority to throw these demons out. We have authority by the power of the Holy Spirit to receive healing of that damage. And those demons don't need to come back in. And so I'm going to give an example, because I know a lot of people will say, he's speaking riddles. No, this is real. Here's the best example I can give you. When you get saved, are you clean? Absolutely. Does any of us have to stop taking a shower? No. We still need to get clean again. Not the big ones. I mean, the salvation is done. We don't need to keep getting saved, but do we need to keep getting healed, delivered, and take authority to keep them things out? Yeah. So like I said, we live in Bisbee, and you guys know that in Douglas, there's some people you don't want coming into your house. And guess what? If you own the house, they have no right. Okay? They have no right. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, those demons do not have a right to come in. And I can tell you this, with years of working with drug addicts and also being in their same boat, sometimes you start thinking that damage or those demons are a part of your personality. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God did not create us to be like this. He created us to be whole and to give healing to others, not to be a mess. So when I was reading this book, Rivers of Living Water, excellent book. It's one of the best books I ever read. It was about a Baptist minister who got filled with the Holy Spirit and started realizing, wow, I was missing out. And then when you read this book, you're like, it's like, yeah, these people were like, you know, why didn't I? Yeah, it's right there. Remember the title? Yeah, it's right there. Freedom is available right now. We don't have you don't have to read this book. Actually, I can tell you how to get delivered, and I will at the end of 2 hours. No, it won't be 2 hours. But these are simple things. You got to get saved. Getting filled with the Holy Spirit allows you to now use the gifts to act in power. And to get delivered, boy, it's just like cleaning house. And I was telling the inmates, they thought this was funny. I really do. Wednesday, where we live, it's the day the garbage truck comes. And I know I'm kind of weird, but I really like when that mechanical arm goes like this. Poof, all my garbage is gone. I love it. But guess what? Next week, the truck's going to come, and guess what he's going to do? Because I got more garbage. I'm not saying it gives us an excuse to go back to the way we were. I'm not saying that. But God wants to clean us. He wants a holy bride. When he comes onto this earth, he wants us clean and holy and healthy and receiving and giving. He doesn't want a sick old nasty. No, he doesn't want that. He wants to receive us. He doesn't want the garbage. So here's the one thing I learned about the Word of God. There's no coincidences in the Word of God. I just read you Mark chapter 7. I didn't finish where I was going to go. Look at verse 24. I'm going to read a little bit of it. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. That's north where Lebanon is. And this is not Jewish territory. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it. But he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him. And she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter." That's called deliverance. That's called deliverance. We have that authority. I've done it. I've seen it. It's real. And again, remember I told you that there is no coincidences in the Word of God? There isn't. And one of the things, when I study the Word, the one thing I'm going to look for is, are these passages somewhere else in the Word of God? The answer is yeah. Matthew 15. Again, it says almost the same thing, but there are a few other things that are interesting. When the woman said, this is Matthew 15, verse 27, this is where she said, and she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Look at verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. We have that. We have that ability. We have the authority in the name of Jesus Christ to throw out those demons. We're called to heal. And Pastor Barbara taught excellent on it. I loved it. And she even said, some of these illnesses that affect us are demonic. I can tell you they are. I've seen it. And I told you, my father was married to a very prestigious doctor in France, and she knows this stuff, but they can't understand it. But we can. We can. We have the truth right here. Woman, great is your faith. Faith. We're saved by faith. We can receive by faith, and we can heal. Wow. And again, there's no coincidence in the Word of God. When you see a passage, go look, see if it's somewhere else, because it will just lift you up and increase your understanding. So we're not this flesh. And I struggled with this because I taught on Romans many times in the prison. You know, Romans chapter 6 and 7, chapter 6, where Paul says, you know, why do I do these things? I don't like to do these things. And chapter 7, it talks about, you know, to live in the flesh is to be an enemy of God. My Bible says enmity, enemy, same thing. Is this flesh really horrid? This flesh has been corrupted, but it wasn't created horrid. We're created, this flesh, our spirit, our soul, we're created in the image of God. We're not to trash this flesh, but what are we to do? We're to get delivered. We're to fight the battle in the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. We're going to walk in faith. We're to be healers. We're to be deliverers. We're not to sit on the sideline. I don't know if you caught what Peter said. It was really cool. He said, remember, I'll mess it up, but he said, how I took it was, do you remember that sweet time you were with the Lord? And I did. I was like, yeah, I love that. I love to be in a room where people, especially the inmates, are like, I tell Melissa, it's the moment of silence where they're just getting it. I love to see God's people joyful in fellowship. I love to see people get healed. I haven't seen a whole lot of it, but I have seen some. I love that. I want that. And can we have that? I'm going to tell you, yeah, if you want it. I grew up, my father was really, really, really into boxing when I grew up. He actually was pretty prestigious. He actually was on, if you remember the Wide World of Sports, when the guy and the skier would wipe out every week. My dad was counting out a heavyweight right after or right before. I don't remember when it was. But he's really into boxing. And one of the things I remember him telling me was, because everyone before a big fight, everyone always goes, well, who's going to win? And Mitch is smiling because he probably remembers. Yeah, who's going to win? And almost always, my dad would say, well, this guy's going to win because he's fought more recently. And I'm going to tell you, it's the same with our spiritual fight. If it's been, like what Peter said, if that quiet moment with the Lord has been years, years back, get it again. Get it again. Get into the fight again. Because when you're in the fight, you're ready for the next one. I just had mine today. I'm ready to go again. Do that. The spirits are ready. They're going to get you in a flesh. They're going to do all sorts of things. They want to take you out, spirit-filled believer. But you don't have to. Get in the fight. Take them on. Get filled with the Spirit. Got to get saved. Get filled and clean house. You know, sometimes, and I've done this. So here's one thing I teach on deliverance. You know, one thing is really hard to get delivered is when everyone else is around you. When I go to these drug rehabs and I tell them, one of the worst places for you guys to be is a drug rehab. One of the worst places for an inmate to be is in a prison. Why? Because they're around a bunch of offenders or they're around a bunch of drug addicts. You start thinking, well, he's just like me. That must mean I'm okay. No. Here's what I learned. And this was like one of those, yeah, it's right there. Is get out and go to the people God called you to be. And they might, it might be uncomfortable. It was for me. And they're going to teach you a lot. It's so funny. Is so many people, they ask me, are you teaching those people in Mexico? I was like, well, sort of, but they've taught me so much. I learned so much from these people. They don't suffer things that I've suffered and gone through. Again, go back to the Word of God. God wants His people to be deliverers, to be healers. We're called to be agents. We're called to be in the fight. We're called to be in the battle. We're called, but sometimes someone needs to tell us, it's right there. Pick it up and do it. And I'm going to let's see. I don't want to go over time. Okay. I'm going to tell you how I do deliverance, and how I do it may not be how you do it, or how these people in this book do it. There's lots of different ways to do it, but there's certain basic things in deliverance. Sometimes I can't. Sometimes if someone comes up to me and says, I got demons, and I'm like, I got to leave right now. Okay, I'll throw them out. But here are the basics that I learned in deliverance. You got to make sure first the person is saved. Because if they're not saved, and I'll take it to, I didn't write it in my notes, I apologize. But the Word says, if you clean house and you're not filled with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, that same demon could come back and bring seven worse demons. I've seen it. I was in Navajoa at a really big all-men's drug rehab. Melissa can't go there because sometimes it gets violent. But I saw a guy, he was a big kid. He comes up to me and says, I want to get delivered. And I asked him, do you have Christ? Don't lie to me, because sometimes they do. And he goes, yeah, I really do. Okay, we did deliverance. Guess what? In the morning, he was worse. He had that glazed over look, like he didn't sleep all night. He couldn't talk to me. It was worse. It's real. So first thing is, you got to make sure people are saved. That's the fundamental thing. I love what the pastors tell us. Man, if you're not saved, you got to get saved, because if you're not, the enemy can take you out any time. You got to get saved. And then usually what I'll do is I'll walk them through. I'll have them declare who they are. That when you're saved, you're not just saved. That's just not, you know, I'm Ramon, I'm saved. Uh-uh. When you're saved, you become, like that song says, a child, a son, a daughter of the living God. You have title. You have title. And you have authority with that title. Okay? So first, you got to get saved. And then, this is how I've been doing it. Hope no one thinks I'm doing it wrong. But I have them declare who they are. I'm a child. I'm a son of the living God. And then I have them throw out the demons that they know about. Sometimes people don't know. But you know, when I go to Mexico, I've seen some things in my own life. It's like, why don't they deal with the things I deal with? They don't. But when I'm around them, I can see the bad things, the demonic damage in my life. Oh, I have a spirit of fear. Oh, yeah. Okay, so identify. I have them identify. Sometimes you can't. Identify sometimes it might be what people say, oh, that's just my personality. No. God didn't make you a liar. God didn't make you a fornicator. God didn't make you a slanderer. Identify those things. Okay, that, you're out. And I say in Spanish, echamos afuera. We throw it out, not just me. I don't say you throw out. No, I say we throw out with the authority of God. We throw these things out. And we go through them. Sometimes it's witchcraft. Sometimes it's violence. Sometimes it's fornication. We throw these things out. And then I ask them, anything more? And they say, yeah. And sometimes it takes a while. We throw these things out. And then the last thing we do is we shut the door. Okay, just like my pit bull. We shut that door. And you can shut that door. You can have authority to shut that door. And if for instance, the door does crack open, shut it, kick it out, clean house, you're good. That's how I've done it. I've seen people get delivered. I've seen people, you can stay delivered that way. And if you want more details, so one of the things I love about these pastors is, first, if you haven't been saved, we're here to help you, to lead you. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, that's why we're here. We want to help you do that. If you have, and again, I love what Pastor Calvin said. You know, sometimes there are people, but in the church, well, they should have known better. I don't think that anymore. Because I was a believer for years, and I didn't know I had demonic damage. I didn't know these demons had effect on me. This book doesn't, they don't use the word possessed. Because, again, it goes back to that, what people think. They say, they call them trespassers. They call them trespassers. They don't have a right to come in your life, but they will. Just like my pit bull, she doesn't have the right to eat my lunch, but she wants to. And if I leave the door open, she will. The demonic spirits are the same way. And it's going to ramp up, people. As the Lord's coming gets closer and closer, it's going to get worse. But we're not to sit and hunker down and be afraid. No, we're supposed to go out into the field and heal the sick, bind the wounds, and cast out the demons. You can do it. I've done it. Okay? So I'm going to end here. Is that okay? Okay. Because I have more, but that's okay. Okay, no, I do want to have one other thing. Okay, remember what I said? It's, don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed if you do need to get deliverance. Because I'm going to take you someplace. We all know King David. Man, what a man of faith. What a mighty warrior of God. Can I read what he wrote? This is in Psalm 143, excuse me. Psalm 143. Look at verse 11 and verse 12. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. Okay, I got a question. We all know Saul wanted to kill him, right? Could Saul afflict his soul? No. No. I'm going to tell you, this man, David, received the messianic blessing. He received a blessing that said, the Christ is going to come through your line. You better believe he was attacked. We can't just start going like this and say, yeah, but David made all these mistakes. He was under heavy warfare. If you've ever been in a fight, sometimes them blows do hit. You can still win, but you're going to take some damage. David was hammered. It says here, destroy all those who afflict my soul. He had some spirits intensely afflicting his soul. It's serious. It's real. This is the heavyweight champ of the faith. He was under attack. You will be too. If you go out and walk in the Spirit and do what God called you to be, I tell you what, these pastors, I guarantee you they're under attack. I know they are because they're doing what God called them to do. But I don't see them. I don't see them calling in sick. I don't see them saying, I'm kind of scared. I'm really not going to come to church today. No, they come all the time. And even go to Mexico too. When you're filled with the Spirit, again, get saved, because you're not saved. You're lunch meat to the enemy. Get saved, get filled with the Spirit, and get delivered. It is pretty simple. It's just like one of those, hey, yeah, it is right there. I'm going to tell you, it's right there. Get saved, get filled, get delivered. It's that simple. So I'm going to close. I could go on for longer, but I'm not. Because I would like, because what I don't want people to do, because this always happens. Every time you talk about spiritual warfare, someone will come up and say, yeah, I remember when my kitchen door closed all by itself. Okay, well, you know what? Those things really are not a big deal. I see that stuff all the time. I had people, and it probably happened today, I just wasn't looking. People roll their eyes in the back of their head. I had one kid, he was like a 90-pound kid. He got up and told me he was going to kill me. I think I told you guys. He was like saying all sorts of things. I wasn't catching all, but I understand when someone tells me they want to kill me. And there was a big guy holding him down. I've seen all that. We're not supposed to be afraid of that. We got God Almighty on our side. Don't focus on that stuff. Focus on the victory. There are people waiting to get healed, and they will if we show up. God wants to use his body. So if you hear people talk about spiritual warfare and they get into the scary stuff, that's not of the Lord. The Lord is about the victory. The Lord is about healing. The Lord is about restoring. He's about joy. He wants us there. He doesn't want us living in that stuff and fear. So what I'm going to do is, I don't want people coming up and saying, yeah, I remember. No, don't do that. I'm going to declare the Lord's victory over God's people right now in this place. Everyone who has the Spirit of the living God in them, everyone who has been saved by the blood of the Lamb is victorious. And I'm going to declare that if you want to, I assume most have, you can get filled with the Holy Spirit. It's just like, wow, doors opening. And I'm also going to open up to, if you need help kicking demons out, if you need help understanding this stuff, I'll help you. The pastors can help you. We're here to help God's people. And you may have been in the faith a long time. Don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed. Sometimes we need to do that. Remember I said, I love that garbage can thing. We need that. We just need to say, you know, that stuff's in the past. The spirit of rejection, kicked out. He ain't coming back in. So let me close in prayer. And if you would like help, this church is here to do that. That's why this church is here, to build God's kingdom, to build God's people, to heal the sick, to bind the wounds. Okay? So let's close our eyes and go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we declare you are everything. You are everything to us, Lord Jesus. You are God Almighty. We know you died to save us, to set us free, to heal us. Lord Jesus, I declare that the enemy is under your feet and the enemy is trespassing. If he even appears, speaks, gazes into our presence. I ask, Lord Jesus, to heal your people, bless your people, deliver your people. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for everything who you are. Lord Jesus, I speak your authority over your people. I speak your presence. I speak your power. I speak your beauty. I speak your love. And I pray these things in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'd like to do a short commercial. If anyone ever has in your heart to invest in the ministry that Ramon and Melissa do within these rehabs, it's a great investment. And you can give them offerings. You can put offerings in the church here designated for them, and we can pass it on. If you need a receipt for giving, it can go either way through them or us. But it's just a good investment. But one of the best investments you can make is to pray. When you think about what they're doing, pray about it. Pray about it. Pray about how you can help. Pray about how your prayers can help. Amen? And I've known Ramon even to take people with him. You know, he needs bodyguards. No, I'm just playing with you. But if the Lord was to lead you and put in your heart a desire to have some part of this ministry firsthand, talk to Ramon. He's got ways of help of using people's help in these services that he holds. But anyway, it's a good work. It's good. We're behind it 100%, and our church is behind it. And I just want to encourage you to keep them in prayer and tell people they're getting people saved. That's the main thing. Of all the ministries we help, this is Ramon. What Ramon does gets more people saved than anybody I can think of. And that's bottom line. Get them saved. Amen. Work day, about 10 days from now on a Saturday the 18th. Want to have a work day here at the church. If you can come, please do so. show up about 8 o'clock and we'll put you to work. We'll work till noon and then have some pizza. And we may need 2 or 3 people to help with a project on the roof, even past noon a little bit. But please come on the 18th Saturday if you can to help around the church, various projects. Wear your paint clothes, your roofing tar clothes, something that won't hurt to get hurt, get dirty. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for participating in this service. Have a great week.